It's 8:17 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour on KPCW. Well, even though the rules changed a few years ago, there's still a problem with residents putting glass in their curbside cans. In the studio with a solution, hopefully, we have Recycle Utah Director Inza Reben. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So how bad of a problem is it, putting the glass in the bin?
It's a huge problem.
Countywide?
Countywide. Well, statewide. So wherever in the state of Utah you have a curbside bin, congratulations. I hope you use it daily. But don't put glass in it. And that is based on the fact that glass contaminates every other item that's in there. Glass breaks. It's dangerous. It just cannot go in there because the recyclables that you put in your curbside bin are being picked up by a truck. Everything gets mixed up. It gets compacted in the truck and then goes to a sorting facility. And that facility is not equipped to take out broken glass. It's a very fast-moving line. Their biggest challenge are two things. Number one is glass, and number two are plastic bags. So neither one of those two things can be recycled in your curbside bin.
So if there is glass in the truck that's being dropped off at the sorting center, the entire thing has to be thrown away because it's contaminated?
No, it will not. But it presents a huge problem to the equipment and to the people. There are people that are sorting your recyclables. And if they see glass, it is, you know, it breaks the system. Those fast-moving trucks are not happy when they see broken glass. So the challenge is to get the message out, and thank you for allowing me to say this, but folks, glass simply does not go into the mix. So we, of course, have offered glass recycling initially countywide because we used to have bins all over the county to collect glass. It's a problem when you have an open-top glass, any kind of bin, because it turns into a trash can. So the current solution is to have smaller bins that are clearly marked, and hopefully people will get the message that you can only put glass in there and not something unspeakable. There's nothing that we haven't found in open-top bins, believe me. So the way it works right now is that the businesses are encouraged to drop off at Recycle Utah Center on Woodbine Way any amount, any time. And if you have a whole lot of glass, please bring it there because that's just ever so much easier. You can have a big tub and you can dump it. The outlying areas now will have two bins for each location. And it is a brown bin for brown glass because brown glass is secondary material and can only be used for things such as sandblasting. The green, however, the green bin is for green and clear glass. They're clearly marked, and that material can be used for fiberglass insulation. And the unique thing in Utah is that all the glass collected in Utah gets actually manufactured into something else in the state of Utah and used here, which is tremendous. It's just a complete circle. Great.
So glass is not glass. I mean, it's because of the different colors. Not
we do running. Not.
How do they color it then? I mean, it's just glass with coloring or no? It's the way that it's made.
It's the way that it's made. Mm-hmm. And brown is a very, very different material from the clear and green. It is not made in Utah. The glass bottles are not. But if we generate enough glass, maybe there could be another business in the state.
So what about the blue glass?
The blue glass is terrific. So those of you that drink vodka, thank you.
But you have to bring it to Recycle Utah.
You have to bring it to us because that's yet another stream and that's made into terrazzo tiles.
So
you've in the state of Utah.
You've added four drop-off locations,
yes.
Just within the Snyderville Basin, though, huh?
Right. So the drop-off locations are starting from Summit Park, right there where the county shed is on Colby Road. You find two bins. The next one is in the Jeremy Ranch area at the Park and Ride, very clearly marked, very visible. And the third one is in at Triumph Gear, so on the way up to Promontory. Again, they all look the same. You have a brown and a green one, clearly marked. And the fourth one is in the Willow Park area, right next to the tennis courts. A little hidden, but everybody has to make that turn. So we are looking for two more locations, one in the Kimball Junction area and certainly one at the bottom of Silver Creek. So if anybody who hears the story knows of someone in those areas that could help us place additional bins, we're ready.
So it sounds like, with the exception of Triumph Gear, they're all on public property or county property.
county, yes. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yes, they are.
So you're looking for private locations, though, at Kimball
Junction
and Silver Creek?
Well, we approached some of the churches along that are nonprofits, right, mm-hmm. along 224, and everybody seems to be concerned about the liability issue. You know, we have run a recycling center for now 25 years. I haven't had too many pop tires anywhere. So I think while that might be, you know, fodder for the lawyers, let's be reasonable. We don't necessarily drop glass to break your tires or whatever.
So, I mean, is there a lot of broken glass, though, around the bins?
No, there really isn't. There isn't a way to do that because of the way in which they are constructed. And if you were to go and check them out, and please do, you will take a bottle and you will put it into a hole, which is decreased in size by those little vinyl teeth that are in there, those little plastic teeth. And that is really based on the European model of recycling one bottle at a time. Just think of it as aerobic exercise.
So the bins themselves, how often do they get picked up? I mean, that might be another concern. They kind of get stinky or something.
Really, glass is not that stinky. It's the plastic we need to worry about. So Recycle Utah runs this program. Recycle Utah is responsible for pulling the bins once they're full, to keeping the areas clean. We will monitor them. And again, this is a pilot program. It will last about 3 months, and then I will reevaluate. And if everybody does their part, this works all over the world. I have no doubt that it will work here, but no contamination.
So what about North and South Summit? Are they doing a better job of not putting glass in?
No, the same problem exists. We are not prepared to expand the program yet because this costs a lot of money. There is no revenue in glass. We need to find bin sponsors. So if anybody is out there who thinks this program is of value to your neighborhood, please call me. I need to find a way to pay for all this. Once it works, again, it's a pilot program. Once we find that it does work and people are responsible recyclers, then we can expand. And certainly my plan is to put bins in Colville and Camas and Oakley and anywhere in between.
So who's paying for the pilot program then? Recycle Utah?
Recycle
or do you have
Utah
a grant?
No, nope, we have nothing. So I am seeking grants. But again, a pilot program means we try it out, we see how it works, and I just count on everybody doing their part in keeping it clean.
Okay. Again, so four locations with the opportunity looking for a place in Kimball Junction as well as at Silver Creek.
We need those two more because then the county is covered. And again, pilot program means be responsible. Let's make it work. It does work. It could work. And then we can capture this material and keep it from ruining the equipment that sorts your recyclables.
Okay. Real quick, also, we just ran the story with regard to the rain barrel program that Park City Council is working on with Utah River Councils. They had the guy I talked to had mentioned that he's working with you as well to bring it out to the Snyderville Basin at least.
Yes. So it's an idea that we have followed for years. When it became legal, we did not have a price point for those barrels that was reasonable. They were almost $200 at the time. Nick's program, and we've talked to both Nick and Zach who run that program, is fabulous. I'm glad the city is doing it. When the city has done what the city wishes to do, we will take it over for countywide distribution. Of course, Recycle Utah services everybody in the entire county, so we're going to spread it out. If council then decides to, make those barrels cheaper, that's great. But this is about a $150 barrel that would be available for $75 or something, which is a really, really good price point. So we're going to take it over once the city does what it wants to do.
Okay. Anything else, Inza?
No. All the information, please, recycleutah.org is our website, and you can see the bins placed in the area so you can place it better and hope it works.
All
please.
Right. They remain up till when? The 3 months expires when then?
Before the snow flies.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Inza, thanks.
Thank you.
It's Recycle Utah Director Inza Riepen. Right now in the studio with me from Park City Municipal, I have Community Engagement Liaison Craig Sanchez. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So we're calling it the backhoe report. You're going to come in regularly here. Just give us an update of what's going on around town.
Yeah, a couple times a month. I thought it was a good idea just to come in. And obviously, there's a lot of activity again this summer with construction, both with city projects and also on the private side.
Okay. So let's start with the one right outside our window here.
Sure. This is the City Hall Plaza project, and it's scheduled to be done and open Friday, probably afternoon, and be ready for the weekend of the 4th. So they're doing landscaping, started that today. They'll pave the extra section on Wednesday, stripe it on Thursday, and have it open for the weekend. So okay. We're right on schedule on that one.
So is it a place where the city's going to take reservations for, or is it just anybody can just hang out?
No, it's a gathering place. You know, you'll notice there's some seat walls out there and some areas, but mostly it's just parking, but also created more of a safety walkway between China Bridge and the Transit Center. I mean, it was very dangerous for years with people backing out without really seeing the pedestrians, so you'll actually have to pull into the parking area.
All right, and then the northernmost end of the parking lot then, does that remain kind of closed to parking through the summer?
That will be. That's our lay-down yard for the work that we're doing on Main Street, which is part of that sidewalk project, which, you know, hopefully after next year we'll have the majority of upper Main Street done. We're working right now at Miners Plaza. We're doing a big concrete pour there this morning. It'll also be open, good to go for July 4th.
Okay. So what else have we got going? So this northern end of the parking lot's basically closed for at least another year.
At least two more summer and probably next summer also, depending again on another big project we have coming down the line is the brew pub lot. And depending on how that plays out, where we're going to do that lay down yard. So that's still in discussion.
Okay. What else have we got going on?
Probably the biggest ones. There's a big project, a walkability project down on 224 on the west side of that. And they're working on that. They're replacing some water lines, and that's what they're doing right now. It should start going a bit more quickly now that they've located those lines. And they'll start that project heading up towards Kohl's. And then they'll do a small section on the east side around Jan's and working back down north towards Fresh Market.
Okay, we've already got a sidewalk there. Are they just widening it?
They're just widening it, making it a little bit better, making it more pedestrian-friendly, et cetera, and making the accesses just better noticeable, more noticeable.
Okay, and what else?
The Judge Pipeline Project, that's still going on. Right now they're working on 9th Street between Norfolk and Empire. And they had Norfolk shut down for a couple days. I think they're done with that shutdown. They're working back up towards Empire on 9th Street. So there will be some impacts probably later in this month on Empire. And then once they're done with that, they're pretty much done with impacts in the neighborhoods. However, on July 13th, they're going to start some open cuts up off of King Road and also off of King and Daly. And there'll be probably some impacts to the South Sweeney Trail system up in there. So we'll have those marked. Heinrich's aware of that, and he'll have those marked with detours and ways to get around those.
Okay. So this is kind of the rerouting, because we had hoped to get over across here, but it didn't work.
Correct.
Too much bedrock or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Yeah, they brought in the big trencher last year, and it couldn't trench.
Okay. So is that scheduled to be done this year then?
You know, I think they're going to be pretty close by the end of this season. Unsure if they'll have it completely done, but I think they hope to get pretty close to having that finished by the end of this season.
And basically, it just takes the water from the Judge Water Tower down to the Spiro treatment plant for now.
Correct. And then they'll either look at expanding that treatment plant or relocating that plant in the future to accept more water.
Okay, what else we got?
You know, the Rocky Mountain Power, this is, and all the businesses aware, they're going to have a shutdown of electricity tomorrow between 9 and 3, roughly the 300 to 400 block on the east side of Main Street. Again, the businesses are aware of that. So roughly Chamayo working south up to about Red Banjo, I believe it is. they're doing some service line replacement. They've had some power outage problems in that area, and they're replacing that service line. So that should alleviate that problem.
Does that affect us here at KPCW?
It's not supposed to be, no. But no, you should be fine.
Okay.
And then just on the private side, a lot going on again. 820, they took the crane down last week from that and moved it up to 205. So that crane is now in place at 205. 820 is right on schedule. They hope to be open November, so that's going well.
This is the Rio Grande project?
This is the Rio Grande project, mm-hmm. Correct. And 333 Main, the old Main Street Mall, is looking to be completed probably mid-August, done, complete, finito, which will be a nice finished project to have, definitely.
All right, and then the sidewalks are still an ongoing deal, huh?
The sidewalks are, yes. It's, you know, it's HPCA, you know, wanted it done, and we went to the voters. They voted, you know, to pay for it with resort sales tax. And like I said, we'll have most of Upper Main done by the end of next year. Right now we're working on finishing that west side up to 4th Street, and then we'll move over to the east side, starting at 4th Street and working south towards the brew pub.
Okay. So what's your sense? So, I mean, I remember years ago, and this was probably building up to like the 2005, 2006. We actually paid John Burdick, I don't know if you remember this, paid him to go out and count trucks. I mean, I think it's busy enough that we could probably do that again. I mean, it's lots of construction going on.
A lot of construction. And a big impact that you probably see going by your window here is the project up at Park City Mountain Resort. You know, they're accessing that project through Sweet Alley, up King Road, and up to the mountain that way. So that has some impact, certainly traffic-wise, but they're doing a really good job of notifying us and notifying the neighborhood when that's going to happen.
Yeah. So you've got a job, basically, to as the liaison, what, to kind of keep the peace between the public and the construction?
Keep the peace, you know, also just keep people aware of what's going on. You know, primarily the Main Street, you know, the HPCA, really keeping them up to date on where we are and what we're doing, and also citizens, and also handle any calls that come in, whether it's our projects or whether it's private projects.
So if somebody has a complaint, you're the man to talk to?
I'm the fireman. I put them out, hopefully.
All right, so how do people contact you?
I can be reached at 435-615-5206, and email is csanchez@parkcity.org.
Okay. Anything else, Craig?
No, just some other ones real quick. Just Deer Valley Drive, Phase 2 is going on. They're doing some utility work there for the neighborhood in McHenry. That's pretty torn up all summer, will be. And that's going, and we're right on schedule with that. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think, doing this for a few more years in town here. But it's going well so far.
Okay. Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Leslie.
Craig Sanchez. Well, the National Ability Center is hosting the 2015 No Barriers Summit. That's coming up July 9th through the 12th at Canyons Resort. In the studio with me with details, Jess Roising, the competition's programs manager for National Ability Center. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So what is the No Barrier Summit, and who's it for?
We are in partnership with No Barriers USA. We're the local organizing committee, you could say. It's very similar to an Olympics, whereas they have an opening and closing ceremony. It's going to be 4 days, as you said, July 9th through the 12th. And there are going to be 2.5 of those days with adaptive clinics and arts and culture clinics. And it's really for anybody of all abilities that has a perceived barrier. So there's going to be a lot of science, kind of technology, really cool things that you can go and see at the Innovation Village tent. We're going to have adaptive clinics, as I said, with instructors and clinicians coming from all over the country. It's really cool. You could try out adaptive scuba diving or downhill biking. Of course, adaptive climbing is one of the favorites. Just about anything, really. But then we have, like I said, some arts and culture. We have pottery actually being done by the Kimball Art Center. So what we did as an organization was bring together some of those really great community partners that we know our community holds. And so we were so excited to be able to partner with No Barriers USA and bring people here.
So is this something that happens every year and it just happens to taking place in Park City this year?
Correct. So up until this year, it has been biannual, but they had the last one in Telluride in 2013. We sent a team of our staff, myself included, to Telluride, and we were like, wow, this is such a great thing to bring to our community. We should do this. So we've been working with No Barriers USA, and up until now, as I said, it's been 2 years, but going forward, it will be annually. But moving around, we hope to maybe bring it back here someday, but we also want to share with other communities as well.
Yeah, so it's something that you got a bid on, I'm guessing. That
it is, yeah. So we had a full proposal and everything else. So we found out just about a year ago. So it's been a big project, and we're so excited to share it.
All right, so it's all going to be set up, what, there in the Village of Canyons?
Correct. So it's going to be in the main Village of Canyons Resort. Grand Summit will be the conference center. And then they will do their opening and closing ceremonies right there, where they've done the Mountain Town music previously, not the new stage. And then we will have different hubs. So you'll see us on the trails around town. You'll see us at the National Ability Center itself, but at the Jordanelle as well. So it'll be really all over. And we're hoping people will take advantage of coming out and seeing the city as well.
I read you are expecting, I think, 1,000 people?
That's the hope. So registration is still open. We haven't hit that 1,000 number, so please go ahead and go online, nobarriersummit.org, and you can register up until tomorrow. And please remember that if you are listening to this, you are a friend of the National Ability Center, and use discount code NACNB2015 to get about 20% off.
Okay, so what's the cost?
It is a little bit more pricey than most people think, but that's it because it includes everything. It includes that opening and closing ceremony. It does include the clinics, but also all your food. There's a great day where we're doing a welcome barbecue at the National Ability Center. So we want people to see our mission, see our campus. But we're also in partnership with One Revolution. That's Chris Waddell's own film organization, and they're going to be doing a showing of their short films and their Upside Down grants that some of the individuals won. They'll also be doing a film screening of Jeff Lowe's Manitonia, which I know was just at the film series not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is there something for just anybody just to walk up and check out without having to register?
You would need to be a part of it to access most of the Canyons area, as well as Innovation Village, which is really going to be very cool. We have Autobot coming in. They're going to be showing a lot of the newest, coolest, greatest things about adaptive and prosthetics and science and technology, helping people really live their lives without those barriers.
Yeah. So what are some of the innovations that are going to be up there? You have any idea?
The last summit, I know they had the exoskeleton, which I know has been getting a lot of really cool, you're shaking your head like, no. So it is for anybody that's a paraplegic or potentially even a quadriplegic, where they might not be able to walk on their own, but it's like a brace system that can go around their legs, and then it can assist them in walking. Actually, Amy Van Dyke and Rowan, who is going to be one of the big keynote speakers at the opening ceremony, she's the Olympic swimmer that injured herself. She took her first steps in the exoskeleton. So she's going to be there and talking about, you know, how that felt and really what her progress has been. It's going to be a great time.
Okay. Let's see. Also wanted to mention that you're partnering with Whole Foods this Thursday.
Yes, yes. It's the Whole Foods Give Back Day. And we're really excited to be working with them. So those funds, of course, will be going towards our mission at the National Ability Center, but then also, you know, hoping to bring some more attention to the No Barrier Summit.
Okay, so all of the proceeds, or 5% of all of the proceeds of that day go...
That is correct.
NAC.
Yep.
Okay, anything else you wanted to add, Jess?
No, but like I said, register as before tomorrow, and we'll hope to see you there.
Okay. Jess Rosing is the NAC Competitions Programs Manager. Thanks. News time now, 8:45. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the Local News Hour on KPCW. Well, the Park City Institute has opened its second Mega Genius Supply Store, and IQHQ. In the studio with details, I have the director of the Park City Institute, Terry Orr, along with Larry Gilbert, the owner of Event Network. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
So the second store opened, I think, in May?
It opened on May 5th, the little Cinco de Mayo party out at Redstone Plaza to introduce the new store to the community.
Okay, so that's where it is, in Redstone?
It is, next right across from the bowling alley.
Okay. So open as often as this one here on Sweet Alley?
Well, it's got quirkier hours because, you know, it's a quirky kind of business. It's open from noon to 5 right now. And the hours will be different once we get going more with it. And it's Monday through Saturday.
Okay, so Larry, what's your involvement with this?
Well, Event Network operates gift shops at cultural attractions around North America. And Terry and I had the opportunity to meet several months ago and began talking about the idea. And we're very happy to have opened the store.
All right. So is it your space? It's just your stuff inside?
We're helping. So we're providing a lot of the product and supporting with the creativity and really working behind the scenes to provide Terry with the support that that she needs to make the store a success.
Oh, okay.
So Larry's being very modest. It's an extraordinary gift that they have created through their business to do some philanthropy through retail. And so the products are provided by Event Network, and the proceeds are kept by us.
Oh, nice. So enough to pay the rent on the place? I mean,
it's part of Event Network space, so there isn't rent on the space, which is another gift to us.
So is it different stuff than what you have here in
Entirely Old Town? Different stuff, and actually so much cooler that we're going to be taking some of that stuff and integrating it into the inventory here in Sweet Alley.
Okay, so what kind of stuff?
All kinds of fun stuff. It's really, well, Terry's brought to us the idea of Thinky. So we've applied the idea of Thinky to everything from jewelry to gadgets and electronics, books and media, things that you just wouldn't find most places.
All right, give me some more specifics.
Well, the one thing that's really exciting is one of the best-selling items was created at Park City High School, which is the ICOS Toys. Mm-hmm. Which has been a really fun thing to support. And we're seeing sales and success of that item at our Mega Genius store, but also at Event Network stores around the country and science centers and places like that. But we've got gadgets for people who want to apply creative fun and energy to riding their bikes, to reading.
He means there's a leather wine holder that goes on your bike.
That goes on your bike. That's great. There's just uncommon things that you would want to decorate your home with. Things that you would want to give to people as gifts and have a lot of fun with.
There are robots. There are china plates that have correct grammar on them. There are little post-it notes. So lots of things that in another season we'd call stocking stuffers. So little gifts as well as robots.
Wow. Like big robots?
Big enough. They're not life size. We're not to that point yet. But probably, I don't know, 18 inches?
Yeah.
That do what?
They can do everything from entertain you to help remind you of things you need to be doing. A lot of fun things for kids to build with and construct, add to their Lego collections with things like robotic gadgets. And they can program things to play with and make and create pretty much anything that they would hope to.
Yeah. So why did you want to become involved in this?
Well, I had the opportunity years ago to interact with the Dave Eggers TED video. I was sitting around and was inspired by what he had created in San Francisco. And I'd always thought if there was the chance to support that idea somehow, it would really be a good thing. And so when Terry and I met and she said that she had met Dave and had brought that idea to Park City, it was kind of kismet, and we were, I think, both immediately kind of enthralled with the idea of what could we really do to develop it further. And so once we got started with the idea, we got the second store going. But as Terry said, the idea of retail philanthropy has always been something that we've supported at Event Network because our day-to-day business is running the gift shops for not-for-profits. And so bringing that to Park City and supporting the Mega Genius idea is just a perfect fit for us.
Yeah. So where do you find all your stuff?
All over the place. Mm-hmm. All over the place. Thousands and thousands of items in the stores. Besides the science and thinky type items, Event Network runs stores at historic places like Gettysburg and aquariums and zoos and all types of
the museum.
The museum in Washington, D.C.
Paris Zoo.
And locations in botanic gardens in Europe as well.
Oh, great. So, Terry, with this, you offer a tutoring service while school's in session. Are you going to do the same out there?
At this point, we don't have the physical space to do that, but we're certainly, as an organization, looking to find space. We know the need is great out there with so many kids who are in the Ecker Hill area who can't easily make it into this space in Sweet Alley. So we're exploring that right now.
Okay. Kicking off the first show of the summer season tomorrow night.
Tickets
still available.
Plenty of space on the lawn. The reserve section is sold out. If you wanted a seat, there is a way to do that by becoming a sponsor. But other than that, plenty of room on the grass. Gates open at 5:30. Show starts at 7 with Tonic, then Toad the Wet Sprocket, then Smash Mouth. So great big show and great big night.
Yeah, so since you have to be done by 10, they get about 45 minutes each, or
they have it figured out as to who
goes. They've
been touring together, and you're right, there is a hard curfew in Park City for anyone who's visiting of 10 o'clock, and we're always done by 10.
Okay, anything else you have to say?
We are so grateful for this opportunity. This is an extraordinary gift to us, and the proceeds from this will be funding this Genius Store, which is always tricky to find the funds because it is one more part of our organization and not the main part of what we do, but certainly a big part of our heart of what we do.
Okay. Terry and Larry, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.